this now because everybody else is quiet. So Carol Gilmore, you may need to try phoning Margaret, and just see, just tell her to click on her audio, because she hasn't been able to get connected to her audio. So I don't think she can hear us yet. And it'd be lovely if they could. Bert's, I think, connected. Oh, I think Bert's on the phone. Maybe they can hear us. Bert, can you hear us? Bert and Margaret, can you hear us? Oh, they can hear us. That's great. Okay, excellent. Yes, we can hear you. Good morning. Welcome. All right. They're connected via their phone. So that's really great. It's the first time I think we've seen them, actually seen them. They've often joined in, but we haven't been able to see them normally. But you're all very welcome. Thanks for joining in with us this morning, and trust that it has been a peaceful, restful, and joyful last few days and this Christmas season. A reminder to everyone in Glastree Church Council that I need you to stay on at the end of the service. Stay online, please. We need to have a brief council meeting. So, Glastree Church Council, please stay on afterwards. Other announcements for this coming week. Prayer meeting is still on Tuesday at 8 o'clock on Zoom. So you're very welcome to join us for that. And then this Saturday at 11 a.m., Presence Port Fairy is having its open hour. Now, this happens every year, but of course, normally it's happening on site in Port Fairy Methodist Church, but it would be digital this year. So you would be very welcome to join in with that. It is not the same link as you used to join in to Zoom this morning. So if you would like to join in with that, all you need to do is send an email or a text to Maureen, and Maureen Edmondson will make sure that you get the details for that. So 11 o'clock on Saturday. Next Sunday morning, details to be confirmed as to whether we'll be having just one service online, like we are doing this morning, or whether we will be having two services. Glastree Church Council is going to discuss this today and should have announcement out about that by tomorrow at the very latest. So just stay tuned for that. But regardless of whether we're doing it online or joint online on-site, next Sunday, of course, is the first Sunday of the new year, hard to take in, as always. And so it's our covenant service Sunday, a very special service in which we both give thanks for God's faithfulness and grace in bringing us into a new year. But we also turn and look to God's grace for his help to live for him in 2021. And along with that, we'll celebrate communion together as well. So,
You got it?
yes, sorry.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. So more details to come out about that next week. Also, just a reminder, we have been getting the copies of the story out. If you haven't gotten that yet, for those in Porto Ferry, you should be already starting to receive those. But if you haven't gotten a hold on, we are distributing them around the area. And if anybody wants any more, I do have extra copies. And the virtual book clubs will get started in the new year. So wonderful. As we join together this morning, we give thanks that Christ is born, and that through his birth, we also can experience a new birth into the family of God, to leave behind the old life and path of sin, of our brokenness, and to live in hope of full salvation. Salvation, not just in this moment in time, but salvation that is also yet to come as God makes all things new. We are going to pray now and just ask that God would bless us and be with us during this time of worship together. Let's talk to our Father. Gracious God, we thank you this morning for all the goodness that you have shown to us. While things have been a little bit more challenging than normal, and for some very challenging, still, you are faithful, and still, you have blessed us with so much. And we are here this morning to look to you for your encouragement, Father, for your comfort, for healing, spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical. Father, for your forgiveness and cleansing, so that we would be renewed in faith and obedience to you. take this time and each one who is participating in this morning service and all of us together, we are united by your presence wherever we are joining in this morning. The same Holy Spirit bringing the presence and life of God into our lives and into our world. We ask, come, Lord Jesus. We ask, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to truly desire the coming of your kingdom, your reign and rule over our lives, even though it might make us uncomfortable sometimes, even though it might involve change sometimes. May we truly desire your kingdom and your will. And so we pray as your Son Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our first song this morning, The Lord's My Shepherd, is going to be led for us by the Hammond family. And great to see their festive setting and surrounding there. And I think we can hear them now.
So we're going to sing, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. He makes me lie in pastures green. The chorus, I will trust in him alone. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul. I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Guides my ways in righteousness. And he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delight, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. For you are with me and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me.
Amen. And whatever has been in this past year, whatever is to come in this next year, the Lord will continue to be our shepherd. Our first scripture reading this morning is read to us by Maureen Edmondson from 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 1 to 14. So let's hear God's word. Thank you, Maureen. 1 Kings, yeah.
Well, Now, Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have instructed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him. "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've instructed a widow there to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me please a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make yourself something for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land."
Amen. Thank you. And now Sarah Hammond is going to speak to all of us, but especially any children who are tuned in this morning. Thank you, Sarah.
Hi, morning. Sorry, Dad's just passed me my Bible. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about being alone, or loneliness. So my first question is, and let's see who knows the answer to it, what does it mean? What does loneliness mean, or what does being alone mean? What did you say, Anna Joy? That sounded like a really good answer.
It's someone who doesn't have any friends or no one to live with.
Yeah, that's a brilliant answer. So being alone is to not have anyone else with you. And to feel lonely is to feel sad because you don't have any friends. That's what the dictionary says. So that's a perfect answer. Well done. The second question is, do you know any songs about feeling lonely or feeling alone? Anyone know any songs?
Roxanne, are you on as well this morning? I'm trying to see who else, other children are on.
I have the half voice there.
No? Okay.
Well, I'm going to give you two renditions of bad singing from me, of songs that I know about being lonely. So one is, has anyone ever seen Flushed Away? And the little slugs come in the sewer and they go, "Lonely, ever so lonely, I've got nobody for my own." Like that. So that's a song I always think about when I think about being lonely. But anyway, we're going to think this morning, first of all, about when do we feel alone. Now, the first one is kind of obvious because it's when we feel physically alone, and that's when we've got no one with us. And maybe at times like this, we can't have anyone with us, and that can feel a little bit lonely because we can't have people physically right there beside us. And when I remember a time when I felt physically very lonely was when I went to university for the first time and I didn't know anyone there. And so I felt physically very lonely because I didn't have my family with me. Obviously, I could ring them, but they weren't there beside me. And I felt very lonely. I didn't have any friends there with me. And that was a time when I look back and I think, oh, I felt physically quite lonely. But the other type of loneliness that we have is mentally, and that's kind of in our head. And I think we can feel mentally lonely for two reasons. One is when we feel like no one agrees with us. Now, sometimes we can be in a group of people, but we can be the only person who thinks a certain way. Maybe at school in your group of friends, you might be the only Christian and everyone else might disagree with what you think. And that can feel a little bit lonely because you feel like you're the only person. And the other way that we can feel mentally lonely is when we feel like no one understands us. And that can be that we feel maybe very angry or upset and we think no one understands how I'm feeling right now. No one knows how this feels. And that can also feel very, very lonely. Now, there's someone in the Bible who felt a little bit like that, and that was Elijah. And there's a story in the Bible where Elijah is crying out to God and he says, God, I'm the only person left who follows you. No one else in this whole entire land. Now, if you think about school, you might be the only person in your class, but you know that you have everyone at church. But Elijah said, God, there's no one who follows you. There's no one else who's a Christian, and I'm the only person. And he felt so, so lonely. And so we can look in the Bible and we can see that there are people who feel the same way that we did sometimes. Now, there are different types of people. We know that. Some of us like to be alone sometimes. Some of us like to be alone more than others. There's introverts and extroverts. Some people love to be with lots of people, and other people like to have a little bit of alone time to themselves. But what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that although we might like to be by ourselves sometimes, it's not good for us to always be alone. The Bible says that we're built to be in relationship with other people. We're built to be part of a community. And one of the ways the Bible shows us that is because our God is the Trinity, isn't it? There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are in relationship with each other. And when we think to when Jesus was on the cross, that was so hard for him because for the first time ever, he was cut off from God. He had never, ever been apart from God. And for the first time, he had to be split off from God. But that was because when he did that, it meant that you and me, those of us who are Christians, never had to be split off from God. And that was a wonderful thing that Jesus did for us. We also know about community from the Bible, because it talks about the church, that we all meet together. And the Bible tells us not to give up meeting together because it's really important that we do that. And also the Bible talks about all kinds of relationships. And if we go right back to Genesis, and we think about when God first made the world, Genesis tells us so much about how God meant it to be, because that's when he made the perfect Eden. And there we have Adam. And who did God give to Adam? Do you remember, Anna Joy?
Eve.
Correct, he did. And God said when he made Eve that it wasn't good for man to be alone. And so God gave Eve to Adam. And so we know that it's not good for us to be alone. But what do we do, even though we know that God says we're not meant to be alone and it doesn't feel good? What do when we do feel alone? Because sometimes we can feel like that. Well, I think that we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And we talked about feeling physically alone and mentally alone. And Jesus helps us in these two ways. Now, when we think about Christmas, we know that Jesus actually came to earth. Emmanuel means God with us. And that was Jesus physically coming. And although we don't live in the time where Jesus actually came down, he left us the Holy Spirit. And that means that we're never alone. We've always got him with us. So we're never, never truly alone. But the other thing is that sometimes, remember we said we feel mentally alone, that we're the only person who thinks a certain way, or that no one understands how we're thinking. And if we go to Hebrews, let's see if I can find Hebrews, and chapter 4, verse 15, it talks about Jesus as our high priest. And it says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." And that means that Jesus came, he came to earth as a human, and he knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to have hard times. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And so when we have difficulties, he doesn't say, "Oh, you should be able to do this." He's sympathetic towards us and he understands. And so please know that if you do feel lonely, that God, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart as your Saviour, that he is always with you by the Holy Spirit. But also Jesus understands what's going on, even when no one else does, or you feel that if you told anyone, they wouldn't understand how you're feeling. You have Jesus, the high priest, who is sympathetic towards you, who cares, who understands. And for that reason, we don't have to feel lonely. So that's all we've got for this morning. Let's just pray to close and then we'll go on to the next thing. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in the Bible you give us examples of people who have felt lonely and who have had hard times, and that we can read their stories and we can learn from them. But I also thank you most of all, Lord, that you gave us Jesus, that at Christmas Jesus came to earth as a human, Emmanuel, God with us. And because of that, we always have you with us and we don't need to feel lonely. And I thank you that Jesus is sympathetic towards us, that he understands what it's like to be human, and he cares for us. And so I just pray, Lord, that when any of us do feel lonely, when we feel that at the minute we're having a hard time, that we just fix our eyes on Jesus and we draw comfort, knowing that he is with us and knowing that he understands. In your name. Amen.
Well, we've been hearing about Elijah, and now we're going to sing about Elijah. These are the days of Elijah. And we're getting our money's worth out of the hymns this morning since Mark's preaching, so we're going to leave us and sing them.
These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert, crying, "Prepare the light of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice, hear up jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes." These are the days of Ezekiel, trials becoming a strength. These are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the world. God declaring glory of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice, hear up
you very much. Our second reading now is coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 18. And someone from the McKenna family is going to lead us this reading this morning.
It's the first case.
No, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 18. Are we there, McKenna's?
Yeah.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you.
This reading is from John chapter 14. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you, and you will be in, and he will be in you. I will not serve you as orphans. I will come to you. Amen.
Thank you very much, Katie. That was great. And now we're going to hear from Mark Hammond. For those who don't know who Mark is what we call in sort of Methodist lingo, our circuit steward, which basically means our lay leader here between the two congregations in Portaferry and Glastory. He lives just down the farm lane from us. Here at Glastory, and Mark is one of our local preachers. So he's going to share now with us this morning. Thanks, Mark. Just need you to unmute. Can't hear you yet. There we are.
That's us now. Well, good morning again, and good to see you all in this morning. And I think you maybe will have caught part of the theme this morning, and we're going to look again at Elijah. And Sarah has already been speaking about one time when Elijah felt alone, and that time was slightly different than the time we're going to look at this morning, because that time it was Elijah who withdrew himself from society. But the time that we're going to look at is very different, because it's a time when God told Elijah to withdraw himself from society. And so I think we can look at it as a bit of a biblical model for self-isolation, as I would say. So this has been a strange year, hasn't it? You know, as we look back in early March, the coronavirus pandemic swept across the world, and the leaders of all our nations told us to stay at home. They told us to isolate ourselves, and they told us to keep out of contact with people. And for some of us, that has been more difficult than for others. But for all of us, to some extent, I would say, it has been difficult, and maybe more difficult as time goes on, especially at special occasions like birthdays or like Christmas, it's slightly more difficult to deal with these things when we're removed from people, isn't it? And sometimes we may have wished for, in the past, a little peace and quiet. And I remember years ago when we were, and it's quite a few years ago, when we were young children, probably about in our early teens or something around those years. So there was three of us in our family, and sometimes there would have been quite a bit of noise in the house. There was the three children and mum and dad. And sometimes it would get too much, and mum would exclaim, and I think she'll remember this, she would used to say, "I'm going to go and live in a cave." But that didn't last for very long. But sometimes we all feel a little like that, don't we? That we just can't cope with it all and we want a bit of peace and quiet. And in 1 Kings 17, there's a crisis in the land of Israel. And King Ahab, he has rejected the God of Israel. He has rejected Jehovah. And he is worshipping the false god called Baal or Baal. And as a consequence of this, of his actions, God, through Elijah, delivered a message to Ahab that there was going to be no rain for 3 years. Now, this would create a very serious economic and also a very serious health situation and crisis in the country, because the economy was based mainly on agriculture and so was very dependent on the rainfall. And I know
I know we might have lost. There you are. Wait. You froze for a moment, so I thought we had lost you, and I thought I was going to have to jump in, so you're back.
Did you miss much, do you think?
Oh, just 5-10 seconds at the most.
Okay, right. So will I recap or just go on? Okay. Elijah was God's spokesman, and God knew and understood what the reaction of King Ahab would be when Elijah delivered this message to him. So for his own protection, God told Elijah to go and self-isolate. In verse 2 we read, he said, "Go to the east and go to the brook Cherith or Cherith, depending on how you pronounce it, near where it enters the River Jordan." And so we're going to look at this under a few different headings. And the first one is Elijah's removal from society. The first thing to say about this is that maybe this is slightly different from our own situation, because it was God's instruction to Elijah to remove himself from society. But I think we can take some parallels from this. And later on, as Sarah mentioned in her story, there's the story of where Elijah decides to remove himself from society. That was after his great victory on Mount Carmel over the prophets of Baal. But here we see God instructing him to remove himself. And he said, as I mentioned earlier, go hide yourself. But the thoughts that come to me are this. How did he survive there? What did he do all day in the brook? And how did he cope with being alone for so long? It could have been up to maybe 2 years being alone there. We don't know the exact timing. And what would the mental impact have been on him? When we look into different situations where we're going to punish people. If we put, when they're put in prison and they misbehave, what do? We put them in solitary confinement, don't we? And in some of the labor camps around our world, when they're trying to punish people to the extreme, they put them in solitary confinement. And we think of our brothers and sisters around the world who, for their faith at this time, are in solitary confinement. And this is because there's nothing that breaks people down like aloneness. And so for quite a while, Elijah had no one to talk to, or had he? He had no one to talk to except God. And what a challenge to us. You know, after this time that we've been isolating ourselves, I began to think, as I was looking at this, how have we been using our time? You know, and the other one that came to me was, we've been challenged, and quite a few of us have been doing it, to read through the Bible this year. But Elijah didn't have anything to read. He only had God to talk to. And so for us, the challenge is, what about our time? Have we used it to deepen our relationship with God, to talk to him rather than listening to others? And so that is the challenge that I take out of this. It's easy to take ourselves away, but what do we do when we're away? How do we use that time? How do we deal with it? How do we use it? And so that brings my mind to the promise that we read in John 14, because Jesus said that he would not leave us alone. He wouldn't leave us as orphans, it says. We are not alone anywhere we are, as Sarah also mentioned. We have the Holy Spirit with us. We have a helper, as he is called. What a promise to have that God with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so that reminds us this morning to remember those who are feeling alone, those who are persecuted for their faith and feeling alone this morning. To those who are alone in their own home this morning listening to us. To those who are in isolation in hospital feeling alone, let us remember each one of them. And let us look for his presence with us wherever we are. So that's Elijah's removal. Then we look at Elijah's reliance on the ravens. Even in unprecedented circumstances, God's able to meet our needs, because here we see Elijah and God provides for him to eat and drink in a very strange way. He gets the birds to come and deliver some food. I know the Litchfields had a bird that lived with them for a while. How would you like it if it had brought your breakfast in the morning? It would have been a bit strange to take it and go, okay, this is my breakfast, wouldn't it? How thankful are we each day for what God provides for us? Not only for our daily bread, but for everything else as well. We've had so many, I would say all of us have had many good things over these last couple of days. And so for that, this reminds me that we shouldn't just be thankful for and looking for something more ahead of us. So often we are always at this time, I think we're thinking, oh no, it'll be better in the future. It's going to be all right. But what are we doing? What are we doing as we're living right now? You know, what is God saying to us this morning? not next year when it's okay and everything's all right again, as we think, what's God trying to say to us here through this time? You see, God used this time with Elijah to prepare him for his battles that were coming. And so I believe that God maybe is challenging us to use this time to think, to pray, to be built up for the times that are going to come. None of us know what's ahead, but we must acknowledge that God's in control of it. And we must acknowledge not only that he's in control, but he's actually working right now in these situations as we are in these difficult situations. And so we must rely on his ravens. We must rely on him as he provides for us right now where we are. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 22, it says this, "Therefore I say to you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, but God feeds them. And you are of much more value than the birds." But also, we come to our third and last point. There's always a bit of risk involved in when we trust God. The thing about it is, as I say, Elijah was in that ravine, and he was there for quite a while. But then what happened? We read, the brook began to dry up. And how do you imagine he felt as he was, as we would pray, you know, give us this day our daily bread. So God was providing his daily bread and water for him. But then all of a sudden, the brook starts to dry up. And does our faith begin to waver a little whenever the brook dries up? Maybe you feel a wee bit like that at this time as you're brook beginning to dry up a wee bit, be it with your failing health or your failing wealth or the worries that we have at this time, and we feel, is what's God doing? What's happening? You know, it feels a little as if God's removing himself from us a little. There's always a little degree of risk involved in faith. When we don't know what lies ahead, how do we continue to trust God when our brooks dry up? We all like to have certainty, don't we, about the future. When will this all be over? We thought it was going to be over, but now there doesn't seem any end. Hopefully it'll not be the 3 years of drought that Elijah had, but we don't know. How do we know? We tend to be anxious over times, don't we, and over dates. We're always looking for something to happen at a certain time. And, oh, in the new year, at Easter, it was going to be all right. It'll be all right for Christmas. You know, we're always looking for a date, aren't we? For Elijah, God had the next move planned, and that was for the widow at, I'm going to pronounce it wrong here, Zarephath. And not somewhere or someone that he would have expected, because she was a Gentile and she was a woman. And sharing that God would use her to speak to his prophet. We don't always have, we think sometimes we've God sussed out, but he can use different people, different times, different situations to speak to each of us if we only trust him and move ahead with him. And so I say this morning, we need to be willing to trust God, even when it seems that there's risk involved. And it's not always what we would plan ourselves to do. So I pray that through this year and through the next year, we will look for God at work right here, right now, not sometime in the future when it's all going to be great. In this time, I pray that we will see God at work and we'll rely on him to provide, and we'll take the risk to trust him that he knows best for the days ahead. And so, as in our last song that Jordan's going to bring to us, I'll just quote this. Hold me fast, Lord, let me stand in the hollow of your hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Thank you very much, Mark. A very appropriate word and of encouragement and of inspiration for us this morning. And we're going to take just a moment to pray for those who are alone, feeling alone, right around the world. I was reading a little bit in Release Magazine's new edition last night, and just about Christians around the world and how some of them in countries of persecution are seeking to continue to live out their faith, even while they are sometimes feeling very isolated and alone. And so let's take a moment and talk to our Father. Gracious God, we give you thanks this morning as we've been reminded that you are the God of Elijah, and that these are still those the days of Elijah in which you are present with us by your Holy Spirit. We do not need to be afraid. We do not need to worry. We confess that we often do. For that, we ask for your forgiveness. Teach us childlike faith and trust in you. Teach us, Lord, not to just be focused on our own stream that may be drying up and therefore testing our faith, not just to focus on our own isolation, but help us to remember those around us, near and far, who are also in isolation and alone. For our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are seeking to live, work, raise homes, continue to witness in the midst of isolation, we pray for their encouragement. May they know that not only are you with them, but they are remembered, they are being prayed for. We pray for those, as Mark was commenting, those who are in prison, and some in isolation. Some of them, they are in prison because they have certainly done wrong. Others are in prison unjustly. Both groups of people we remember this morning. Make your presence known and real to them. For those this day who maybe are struggling with a mental sense of isolation, a strong sense and feeling of loneliness, bring your comfort, encouragement, and your grace. And where possible, Father, enable us as your people to walk up aside. And yes, we may have to socially distance, but we can still be present to love, to encourage, and to support. For all those on our hearts and minds this day, names of family, friends, needs around the world, we offer up them up to you. The God who provided daily bread for Elijah and will provide our bread today and tomorrow, the God in whom we trust. Amen. This last song that Mark had chosen for this morning, probably a new one for most, if not everyone, and so you're welcome to just listen for the entirety of the song, or you can try to join in at some point. Yeah, you guys can just listen this morning if you'd like. And I'll sing the first two verses and then bring the chorus in after the second verse and after the third verse. And we take hope and encouragement from these words. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Amen. And he will keep us safe. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's hold on to his hand, both now and in the year to come. Thank you so much for joining in with us this morning. It's been great to have each and every one of you. And trust that you know God's blessing in this coming week and for the rest of the year. You're welcome to unmute yourself, and we'll share the grace together with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore and forever. Amen. Bye, Lord.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Matt.